I'd like to actually introduce our next speaker, Diana McClellan. Diana's career in the information and library world has been focused on academia after moving from a specialist botanical library. She has worked as a librarian at La Trobe University's Bundoora campus for many years, first with the user area in the area of reference and later in technical services and cataloguing. Her responsibilities in the reference division were developing the life sciences information. We're developing the life sciences information area and managing the online services section for online database searching. For some years, Diana was the BIOSIS, Biological Sciences Information Services, training representative for Australia. She has served on both cataloguing and online information committees. Today, in the metadata services section of La Trobe University Library, Diana's responsibilities encompass cataloguing, and in her spare time with a master's candidature at Monash University, Diana is researching the topic Metadata for Australian Indigenous Collections. Ladies and gentlemen, Diana McClellan.
I'd like to thank the ACOC committee for giving me this opportunity today to share with you some of my ideas about the catalogue. They are my ideas and not necessarily those of La Trobe University. I've entitled my paper, The Plight of the Library Catalogue, Where to Now? There's a famous French saying, plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Can this be said when we look at the state of the art of the library catalogue in the context of today's global information world? Is the current debate fueled by an opportunistic, cost-cutting agenda at the Library of Congress? What has really changed in the information environment? Is it the attitude and a genuine belief that all physical books and publications can be disposed of as soon as digitised copy is available online? Does this also apply to museum artefacts? In this paper, I'm arguing that the challenge of organising information by librarians and the use of the library catalogue remain the same. What has changed is the online vehicle, in particular the World Wide Web and the digitisation of information. I am arguing that the local library catalogue is needed to provide access to digitised information in the electronic age. In particular, I am basing my comments on the academic community. The open web provides knowledge of the availability of resources. It is the purpose-built catalogue of the home library, with licensing agreements that provides access to invaluable authoritative resources essential for teaching and research. Now moving on to the Library of Congress report for 2006. Firstly, I will look briefly at the Library of Congress report for 2006. This report is encouraging many institutions to reassess the role of their catalogue and attitudes to cataloguing, some from the business perspective outlined. Secondly, I will discuss in general terms issues affecting cataloguing. Heading, choose a strategic option for their catalogues. A news release from the Library of Congress, mid-April 2006, tells about their commissioned report, the changing nature of the catalogue and the integration with other discovery tools. The final report was released the 17th of March 2006, authored by Karen Cullen, who was then Associate University Librarian, Cornell University. The report, in quotes, assesses the impact of the internet on the traditional online public access catalogue and concludes that library patrons want easy-to-use catalogues that are accessible on the web. A number of proposals are listed for libraries to enhance, such as, quote again, define the communities they aim to serve, choose a strategic option for their catalogues, allow users to access full electronic content from the catalogue, reduce the costs of producing catalogues, enrich the catalogues for users by including book reviews, images of book jackets, and related information. Perhaps the most interesting of these is, in commas, choose a strategic option for their catalogues. In close reading of the report, discussion of this aspect starts alarm bells ringing, and understanding of why the report was not called The Changing Nature of the Catalogue with Integration of Other Discovery Tools. The report seems to be paving the way for the demise of the local library catalogue at research institutions such as universities. Is it by the integration into the larger scholarly research and learning environment, as suggested by the report? At an LC cataloguing management team meeting, Diana Markham, Associate Librarian for Library Services, commenting on the possible Google digitisation of a library of 8 to 10 million volumes and making the content available on the web, the question was asked, what happens to every other library? Her answer was that Library of Congress cataloguing would not be needed in these circumstances. The LC role might be to augment the digital core with its special collections. The definition of catalogue provided by the Oxford English Dictionary, as now, I've just got part of the quote, is now usually distinguished from a mere list or enumeration by systematic or methodical arrangement, and often by the addition of brief particulars, does not fit today's library's catalogue, which provides direct access to resources on the World Wide Web. The LC report places little emphasis on the access of resources from the catalogue available on the web, although it is a practice which has been carried out by most research libraries for many years. Surely to have access from a local research library catalogue to a Bodleian Library, University of Oxford, digitised book on the web, fully text searchable, to provide is providing a service if the publication has been selected as a desirable complement to the information needs of the community the library serves. All digitised books on the World Wide Web are not going to be made available from the local university catalogue. The local catalogue would lose its power of providing a valuable service for the local community if saturated with thousands of irrelevant resources. The home catalogue would be selective and include those books and resources which have a merit for the scholastic research and teaching needs of the academic community for which the catalogue is designed. The Indian digitisation project is enormous in scope and aims at comprehensively digitising all texts. A mobile unit roams the countryside uncovering research treasures. This simple project is promising to accomplish great feats in opening up the knowledge base of available resources recovering a large geographical region. All these digitised works, when they become available, would be irrelevant, holus bolus, in a home catalogue, causing noisy search results. If the research institution has responsibilities in the area covered by these texts, many of which are specialised and uniquely valuable works, then a careful evaluation and selection of those resources would be needed to decide whether to make them available, accessible from the local catalogue. The need for a collection policy relevant to local needs has not been negated by the possibility of access to everything. Such a collection policy is now even more necessary. The catalogue reflects the value added by judicious selection and, where free hyperlinking is not available, procurement through purchase, licensing or donation. In this way, a meaningful service could be provided to the community served by the library. The LC report includes a 2-year plan with a blueprint for phased implementation, while the vision for change extends beyond 5 years. It states that the catalogue will evolve towards full integration with other discovery tools and with the larger scholarly information universe. Today we have leverage back from Google to the Libraries Australia web catalogue, giving location for resources found while searching Google Scholar. If we search, for example, for possums and narrow this to Victoria, the opportunity will be found for the type of leverage to the Australian National Database. While we have these opportunities through World Wide Web search engines to increase exposure to the local resources, it should in no way preclude the need to cherish the catalogue at the home institution or the aggregation of such catalogues in a quality union catalogue such as Libraries Australia. Open web searching across millions of resources does not provide free access to all of those discovered because of licensing agreements and payments necessary to have use of significant subsets of such resources. Has Google claimed that Google Book Project will ever expand to make all information resources in all media available without purchasing or licensing? I have found no such projection as yet. The local academic catalogue, with its huge ongoing investment in licensing agreements, provides access to relevant resources for its academic population. It is a great strength of the local catalogue in providing the community it serves with access to those valuable resources. I'm going to move on now to a few words on controlled subject heading searching versus keyword searching. Under the LC Report Blueprint Section 4, Innovate and Reduce Costs, we come to item 4.2.3, which states, abandon the attempt to comprehensive subject analysis manually with LCSH in favour of subject keywords. Urge LC to dismantle LCSH. Is LC urging the library community to put pressure on it to eliminate LCSH? Where is the evidence to support the abandonment of controlled vocabulary in favour of keywords? In many disciplines, such as the social sciences, the use of table of contents terminology can be quite meaningless for retrieval purposes. There is greater credibility for keyword searching in the sciences, as a title and summary can more often encompass words necessary for identification of the subject content. Are we to use publication indexes? Robert Mann notes that Dennis McGovern of the LC Social Sciences Cataloguing Division has made the point that LCSH, in inverted commas, inform the Dewey Decimal Classification and the faceted application of subject terminology, that's FAST, and therefore have a life of their own, even if students don't search directly using LCSH. Yes, LCSH has some faults because of the nature of the compilation of the subject heading listing. LCSH can evolve to overcome any shortcomings by taking on an enhanced role in its service to the American people and to the information community worldwide, which it has impacted on for decades. It has actively enabled interoperability and the sharing of information by subject globally. LCSH should develop as a subject thesaurus, not simply a list of subject headings reflective of accessions received by the LC. In this way, it would introduce comprehensiveness and coverage and be timely in its development as an authoritative, up-to-date, thesaurus-type listing of world knowledge. I would like LC to go further and to coordinate subject access to specialist subject thesaurus, so that LC provides for a more universal approach to subject language globally. Specialist subject thesauri provide the language for both keyword and controlled subject searching. Our researchers are familiar with the specialist thesauri terms used for searching databases with journal articles. It is as near as can be achieved to a universal language and could assist in the future in more flexible and more comprehensive searching of research databases. Many of you will know that catalogue record copy can be downloaded with the National Library of Medicine subject headings and not those of LCSH. Dutifully, many libraries add LCSH for uniformity of approach, and yet the researcher could be more familiar with the National Library of Medicine subject headings, being a regular user of MESH headings and searching Medline. There needs to be a pulling into line of long-established thesauri listings so that federated searching becomes more of a reality across information resource databases. Library catalogues should be able to offer flexibility of searching across different formats, and the research library needs to be able to offer this service to its researchers searching for more advanced knowledge. Even now, Library of Congress includes some specialist subject headings in its listing of subject authorities. I would see this as a challenge for LC to take a leading role in the coordination of access to this type of specialist terminology and supporting the use of such terminology by research libraries where LCSH lacks the specificity of subject approach required for discovery at the specialist level. Today I'm not exploring the merits of using controlled vocabulary versus keywords and the flexibility which can be offered by the search engine in enabling the use of multiple permutations searching across subject elements of a record. Under these circumstances, the more ways of searching the catalogue, the better. With considerable precision in discovery achievable through a controlled and structured subject approach. Surely, if we let go of controlled vocabulary, it degrades the whole subject discovery adventure. I'm going to move on to our catalogue My Information Hub. The Google mantra. The swing away from the concept of the catalogue has gone too far. As indicated above, much of the power of Google Scholar relies on the availability of the vast organised resources, such as Libraries Australia. Google, Google, Google. Is this to be the information mantra of the 21st century? A solution to all our information needs? Have you searched Google? Try Google. It'll be on Google. You'll find it on Google. What sort of advice is this? Why bother with anything else? Can you remember when it went something like this? Have you looked in the catalogue? Have you checked the Dictionary of National Biography? Have you used the Australian Education Index for articles on the topic? Perhaps you of the new generation belong to the digital age and the internet, after elsewhere else would you look? A boring old catalogue, no fun, no colour, no animation, no videos, no music, and what you might have to do is borrow a book, a CD, a video. It's all too hard. It does not satisfy instantaneously like Google. If it is on Google, it must be right. Everybody is using Google. Heaven forbid. Where are we headed as a society if our most gifted students and researchers are sucked into this cyberspace black hole and forget our libraries? Robert Mann cites a 5th May 2006 letter from Deanna Markham, LC Associate Librarian for Library Services, addressed to the Association of Research Libraries. We have millions of items in our special collections that are not available to the public because they do not have even cursory bibliographic description. We know that increasingly our users go first to Google and other internet search engines to find information they are seeking. We have made it a priority to increase access to content rather than to continue bibliographic practices that are helpful to other libraries, do not add immediate value to the user. At an LC cataloguing management team meeting, 24th of March 2004, Markham made reference to a study of 3,000 faculty and students at nearly 400 academic institutions, ranging from the community colleges to the Ivy League. Mann cites Markham as saying, "The study showed that faculty and students have enormous respect and trust for libraries, but they don't use them. Instead, they turn first to Google." Mann believes the implication, this is Cumbers, is that the typical student today uses only Google, i.e. the user does not use the library in addition to Google. To move on to our catalogue. We need to create an exciting alternative to Google and other search engines aiming for excellence as first search preference for research and study needs in our own catalogue. Most of all, our catalogue needs to be authoritative so that the information sources found are scholarly and knowledgeable, containing today's information as well as yesterday's. The catalogue should be the gateway to the best resources available on a topic, whether at the home institution, locally, nationally, or internationally. This should be achievable through the forging of pathways of information to what I have called interconnect resources cataloguing. The pathway would be informative, with evaluative notes on resources, giving scope, limitations, and where desirable, references for further reading about the resource. It would be a knowledge map of resource interconnectivity, understood by the user, drilling down for more precise or related information about a topic. It is not just a matter, when a relevant resource is found, that the user is supplied with a list of related works, a current scenario. It could be this as well. However, this approach is limited and falls far short of an exciting knowledge journey exploring the technicolor resources on the web. Some web resources could be on the home server, as at La Trobe University, where the image database, for example, is built around course requirements, allowing the academics flexibility in the design of complementary images for online lecture presentation. One of the most remarkable web achievements is the National Library of Australia's Picture Australia database, providing access to rich collections of images throughout Australia. Participation by cooperating libraries requires a provision of a few simple elements for each image within the Dublin Core framework in order to become part of an extensive network of images nationally. In the book, Justing for the New Generation, recently published by the Australian Council for Education Research, David Loder argues for a whole new look at education in the knowledge society. A retired principal And some years ago, a trailblazer in introducing notebook computers from years 5 to 12 at a Melbourne private school, he observes, "Kids are just not different in their hairstyles, their clothing, or the jewellery they wear, or where they wear their jewellery. They are different. And that difference is a result of the technology. Their learning needs to be addressed differently. As we develop our catalogue, we need to keep in mind the needs of the knowledge society generations, having been born into a world surrounded by technology and influenced by its daily, on a daily basis." My information hub. Should our catalogue be known as the information hub? It could be personalised for the individual needs so that it becomes my information hub. The new generation student might respond by saying, "Oh, okay, good, cool. Google points me to my own library, my own information hub. It must be okay. I'll check it out." Leverage from Google just might help in building up the power of our home catalogue as we work to transform its faltering heartbeat into a robust information flow for our users. We must know our users well and work with them in providing access to worldwide information resources. When students say without hesitation, "We use the catalogue, it's our information hub," we will have achieved what we have set out to achieve. Perhaps then we may have succeeded in developing our catalogue into the discovery tool that it should be for our community's needs. Catalogues, in their current state generally, do not provide the thrill of discovery of the unknown, relevant resources in multiple formats, which could be achieved by designing the structure of interconnectivity within the catalogue. Should catalogues include Amazon-style alerting systems to enrich the catalogue's authoritative entries with excellent description, evaluation, and pathways is a way to enrich the user's experience. We have an enormous task ahead to achieve this. We need to be open and share the way we catalogue to transform our catalogue into a vibrant, pulsating information hub. We can do this, but we need to work with the user on a daily basis. We need to make the catalogue the library focal point. We need to advertise the fact that we create this discovery tool for the use of our students and our academics, for their teaching, for their research and their study needs. Working together. All types of resources are being purchased for the students and the staff of an institution to support the goals of the institution. They're not being purchased for cataloguers to ponder over the inadequacies of downloaded records to add to the catalogue. There should be an appreciation for the sharing of intellectual work. The perceived waywardness could well be an expression of the organisation in fulfilling the needs of the institution. Do we think that globalisation means uniformity in everything? We're not in a perfect world. If uniformity, despite complexity, is the aim, then consideration of our users and institutional needs will be a secondary and not a primary consideration. As information specialists, we are trying to survive a highly competitive environment. The idea of downloading other institutions' catalogue records to add to an institution's database is to save time, which translates into money. Great care needs to be exercised. Modelling for success requires economies of scale so that unnecessary editing is not undertaken by an institution. In other words, be smart. Accept the records with as little editing as possible. What shaped the cataloguer? It was some days, decades ago, about the mid-20th century, when the cataloguer was subsumed by the reference librarian in some academic libraries. This was an experiment in subject librarianship, a British model, which in the fullness of time was declared a failure. There was an inability to marry the two broad tasks of cataloguing and information work into one person. One task was direct service to inquiring users, and the other task indirect service to possible users. In those days, cataloguing was not recognised as a service. In other words, we had the reference librarian who saw the user as paramount, locating information resources to fulfil real needs, but the same person was asked to see themselves as a cataloguer describing, organising and making available subject specialist information resources for potential users. In those days, the twain did not meet. With the cataloguer hidden out of public view and with the information librarian bustling to uphold the librarian's charter. This model was indeed a bold attempt at rounding the librarian to provide subject expertise in both retrieving and organising information resources at an advanced level. The cataloguing and reference department settled down, each department going their own way, much happier in the knowledge that they could follow the standards and requirements familiar to them. A greater gulf was seen to develop, with Library of Congress subject headings at variance with thesauri for online searching used by librarians providing information services to the public. Reference librarians became subject specialists with responsibility for broad subject areas. We saw the library catalogue undergoing a difficult metamorphosis, trying to emulate its distant serial cousins encapsulated in slick databases as it grappled in the shackles of the integrated library system. Cataloguers sat at the information desk, but information librarians did not sit in cataloguing, and nor were they required to do a stint in cataloguing. Today, what do we have? Do we have the likely demise of the cataloguer and the possible demise of the information librarian? If so, why? Is it Google? Is it email? Both electronic media? Are they overwhelming and all too invasive for the uninitiated? Is it just simply that there is no personal contact and we do not know how to talk to one another in an intelligent and respectful way anymore? I believe that there is hope in this opportunistic, dollar-driven environment which appears to be shaping a new direction for LC. There needs to be action and commitment. Recommendations for action. The following is a listing of actions which could be taken to strengthen the commitment for the development and use of the library catalogue. 1. Get to know the user well. Cataloguing and librarians and reference librarians to work in partnership. 2. Encourage the development of mobile librarians, librarians going to the user, being part of the scene and working with the user. 3. Make the catalogue a focal point in the library. It should be seen as the information hub. 4. Build a catalogue that satisfies the needs of the users in fulfilling the objectives of the organisation in teaching and research. Watch your competitors. As a catalogue is developed with vision to satisfy the learning needs of the knowledge generation, the catalogue should be developed as an exciting discovery tool leading to a technicolour world of authoritative web-based education resources. It should be an exciting information hub, providing a journey of discovery for everyone who has the privilege to have access to all of the resources it offers. 5. Utilise specialist thesauri and subject lists aligned with journal database searching, especially in the scientific and technical fields. A common language is desirable for research work, which is known by the researcher. LC could coordinate access to these listings as authenticated and advanced search terminology to be used globally for academic and research libraries. It would assist with federated searching at the home catalogue. 6. Access from the catalogue a subject list of searchable controlled vocabulary for the user to apply in searching. Subject chosen from the thesaurus type list should be activated in the catalogue search mode with the capacity for the searcher to refine as needed. 7. Be smart. Utilise economies of scale and be accepting of cataloguing already done. Ideally, a resource should be catalogued once, and the catalogue should record created, accepted by other institutions. The time lapse between receipt of an item and availability should be cut to a minimum, with minimal costs incurred to the institution in getting the resource to the user. 8. Integrate discovery tools within the catalogue. Integrate the catalogue within the web-based discovery tools so that there is a long-tail exposure and leverage back to the home catalogue. In conclusion, it seems appropriate to cite the works of Karen Markey. In her 2007 paper on the online catalogue, she warns us of not just the plight of the catalogue, but the library itself. And these are her words. Should we fail to act until all the books are digitised and the copyright problems are solved, the last person to leave the digitisation workroom may be turning off the lights on the library. I'd like to acknowledge appreciation to Don Chowder and Kerry Tanner, who looked at drafts of my paper. Thank you very much.
very much for that very interesting paper. If we just have time for a few questions, if there are any. There's plenty of food for thought in that paper.
Thank you, Diana. I just wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on including subject authority records? I'm assuming that the subject authority record has adequate see also references, scope notes, warrant, local, Australian terms. What are your thoughts on including this record on the top of the...
The main question is,
what are your thoughts on including a subject authority record at the top of a standard subject result list in the OPAC? I'm assuming that the authority record has adequate notes and Australian terms, local terms, that sort of thing.
I personally think it's too clumsy. And I would see, like with the Library of Congress, putting in listings from other thesauri, for example, the National Library of Medicine, but they have other ones too. They in themselves are authoritative. People say, oh, but, you know, there's no authority record. Well, there's no LCSH authority record, but those thesauri terms are authoritative in themselves because they're coming from institutions which give them that backing and they themselves are authoritative. But, I mean, I guess, if you put the authority record in with the subject, that is a start. But I think you should be able to look at the sort of subjects and do searching of subjects in a much easier way, like you used to be able to on databases, and I presume you still can, because then you've got the choice and you've got something to manipulate. At the moment, how does the user know what subjects to use? So you look at the subject record and you can find it, or you might go into an index and find it, but I don't think it's easy. So how does one make use of controlled vocabulary? And I think that this is why the controlled vocabulary has lost a lot of its strength and popularity, because people aren't using it correctly, and nor do they understand what it's all about or the structure. That's just a personal opinion, because really there's tremendous strength for some searches in controlled vocabulary. I'm not saying all of them, because some of them you're much better doing a keyword. If people have done lots of searching, they'll know this. They'll know that some searches are much better at retrieval by keyword, but others, to get the narrow, to get specialists, and to get your core group of references you need, to have controlled vocabulary is the way to go. But that's just, my opinion.
Any other questions? I think we've got time for one briefly right up the back again.
How much do you think Library of Congress subject headings are still a relic of the old card catalogue system?
How much do you think the Library of Congress subject headings is still a relic of the old card catalogue system?
Well, they are trying to improve on that. But this is something that one would have to look at if you were going to coordinate everything, because I think everything should be coordinated and it should be brought into line with the research thesauri, and so there could be a difference in structure. But they are trying to make things more attractive to online, and it has been developing. But the thing is, it's not done all at once and evenly across, and that's what it needs to be done. And if terminology changes in a particular subject, it's no use it's being changed in LC 3 years later when the researchers are already accepting this, and in their thesauri, it could be updated. So there needs to be a timeliness about the subject headings, and to bring it up, really to make it robust and bring it right up to the times.
Thank you very much.
And can I just say something?
Yes.
I think it's interesting to see that faceting in current new generation catalogues is actually bringing subject headings to the fore again. LC subject headings.
All the rain all goes around and round. Thank you very much, Diana.